the Inspired Change Summit, presented by Earth is Waking Up. This is your host, Jeremy Anderson. Today we're going to be talking about quantum mind power with our honored guest, Mori Zelkovich. Now, Mori Zelkovich is the creator of the Mori Method, he first noticed the effects of sounds and tones and what they had on his mental state well over 20 years ago. This led to a decades-long journey deep into the study of brainwave entrainment. Not satisfied with the minor results he experienced, Mori sought out the world's foremost brainwave entrainment expert and, after extensive study and training, became one of the few certified brainwave entrainment engineers in the world. From that impressive starting point, and with ongoing study and research, Mori developed proprietary technology and techniques, which he has named the Mori Method. Not satisfied with keeping this knowledge and powerful methodology to himself, Mori tirelessly produces the most leading-edge recordings that incorporate the Mori Method proprietary techniques. These recordings, including quantum mind power and quantum confidence, are acclaimed by his legion of listeners. Recently, the Mori Method was recognized by the Brazilian government and a Brazilian university when a major exclusive independent study of the Mori Method technology was undertaken. The findings, published in October 2009, underscore the benefits of the Mori Method and have resulted in the further recognition of the Mori Method as a proven technology. Welcome and thanks for being on the show, Mori.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, it's great. I've listened to some of your stuff over the years and excited to finally get a chance to have you on the air.
Yeah, it's actually my pleasure to share. You know, most people understand about nutrition. Whether they do anything about it is another thing altogether. Mm-hmm. But most people also know about, you know, physical states and yeah. You know, the necessity to stay in shape as well. How many people go out and do it, you know, that's also questionable. Mm-hmm. But most people don't pay attention to their brains, to their minds.
Yeah.
And they never consider that gray matter between their ears as a muscle. And one of the things that I realized is that the brain is probably the most powerful muscle you ever going to have. And so important to have an effective way to literally exercise it and stretch it and make it optimal in its abilities, more so than the physical aspect, more so than, you know, anything really. And you can certainly turn yourself into the ultimate you if you combine the three together, nutrition to a degree, your body's physical well-being to a degree, and then your mind.
Yeah. I think, you know, that brings to mind Albert Einstein, and one of his quotes that I love was something like, knowledge is limited, but imagination can take you around the world. And I know that
go.
He worked a lot with his imagination and his intuition and so forth. So it's our mind is our doorway into that.
That's true. And you know what? Speaking of Einstein, it's interesting that you would pick that particular quote, because the truth of the matter is a true scientist is someone who doesn't accept what he or she has been taught.
Ah, right.
A true scientist doesn't think in the conventional way. So interestingly, though, most people consider science as a pure form that there's either evidence or there's no evidence, and
yeah.
Something exists or it doesn't exist. And most scientists are, you know, accredited. So you have to go to school and you become a biologist or a physicist or a quantum, you know, whateverist. And, you know, you become a scientist, and then there are truths and there are non-truths. And this is how science is. The truth of the matter is, and the real scientists aren't these people. The real scientists are the people who take the existing knowledge. They take it in, they process it, and they come up with a new way of looking at something. Another quote, and my favorite quote from Einstein, is actually, genius is simply the ability to see something others don't see.
Yeah. Yeah, to step out of our own perspective, step out of the given
yeah.
perspective, and look at what else could be there. Yeah, I love that.
Exactly.
It's Yeah, stepping out of what's been put in front of us and look at it from a different perspective.
Sure.
Super powerful. So brain technology. So I saw that that you worked with the Brazilian government, right?
Yes.
Could you tell a little more about that?
Certainly. A few years back, I was contacted by a captain in the Brazilian military. And interestingly enough, I, of course, thought it was a crock. I thought it was a friend playing a joke on me. About a year I'm in Canada, and our intelligence service here, if you can call it that, is called CSIS, the Canadian Intelligence Agency. So interestingly enough, a friend of mine from high school who I hadn't spoken to in years called me, didn't identify himself as my friend, identified himself as a CSIS agent, telling me that my work has brought attention to the wrong types of people and I should be on guard and report to them any suspicious activity because I might disappear and all kinds of stuff. And he had me like kind of impressed and scared at the same time for about a month or two, I think. And then he ended up, you know, calling me again and laughing his rear end off, of course, because I work for CSIS, because like, you know, the ID on the phone came through as Canadian Intelligence Agency.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and he said, no, remember me? I went to high school with you. I just saw you online. I thought it'd be hilarious. So I thought it was another joke.
Yeah.
So the gentleman, you know, called, but when he called, he doesn't speak English. He speaks Portuguese. And there was an interpreter on the line who was interpreting.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, that's unusual that someone would go to that kind of a length, you know, for a joke. And it turned out, you know, after a few other conversations, it was confirmed that this person was not a joke and they were very serious. They actually got they heard about me from a pirate site. Someone had stolen my image. They stole my name.
Oh, no.
They stole all of my information from my original Quantum Mind Power website. And they took out the English-speaking parts, and they were selling it as their own. So this guy is telling me through the interpreter how he purchased from this site. And I mentioned, by the way, that's a pirated site, but I'm grateful to them because they brought us together. So good things come. You never know where they're going to come from.
Especially when you're able to see them that way.
That's it. Well, you know what? When you come from the history I came from, you learn to look for the good things.
That's awesome.
Because you certainly see enough crap.
Yeah.
So we're talking, and he asked me if I would give my permission for the Mato Grosso University there, which is one of the more prestigious universities, to actually do a study in conjunction with the branch of the armed forces under his auspices to actually see if this could be something that they might be able to benefit from and use. You see, he had used it, and even without the English-speaking parts, which were a relatively important aspect of the system, he was getting incredible benefits.
Yeah.
And he thought, wow, you know, we have a lot of stress here in Brazil, and things, you know, are tough there, as you're probably aware.
Yeah.
The military and the police do not have the best relationships with the public,
mm-hmm.
and there's significant crime, and there's significant unrest, and a lot of really urgent issues that are going on there. So what they did was they did a study with, I believe it was about 20 students who were students of the military police. And they were taking their classes, and the students actually participate in police action. So they were there doing crowd control and doing other police activities as well while they were being trained in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And they were told, you know, basically my involvement, I, of course, gave my permission. I said, yes, the only condition I have is that you let me see the research afterwards.
Right.
And they said, sure. So I basically, you know, the only influence that I had in this was they asked me for a protocol for listening. Hmm. And then they would run with their professors and their researchers and, you know, all of their, you know, statistics. They would do all of that independently. This is the equivalent of like $250,000 research paper that I got the benefit of to see for free.
Yeah.
Which is highly unusual in this line of work to have that kind of a research done. So the end result was the students who are very severely overworked and they had to study and they had to go to classes through this entire period of study, it was found that those who actually did the listening as I prescribed actually had better sleep. They did better in school. They related to the public and had better associations with them, like actual experiences, than those who did not. And the way I understand it, it's being used as part of the curriculum now in the actual teaching of the students to help them to cope. It's an incredible stress tool. It's incredible. It helps to increase the brain's capability, just like any exercise. I was alluding to that before, saying that the brain is a muscle. Well, if you exercise, you know, let's say you do a bunch of push-ups, well, that exercises upper body, it exercises your arms, your shoulders, you know, maybe even your neck. But just because you get into better shape from doing push-ups doesn't mean the only thing you can do is push-ups.
Right.
Right? That strength and that agility is now available for a myriad of other things that you might be able to accomplish as well. The same thing if you're jogging, the same thing if you're doing weights or leg presses or whatever. All of these things, yes, they exercise muscles and they make it easier to do the actual exercise itself. But ultimately, it allows the muscle to be that much more effective, that much more efficient. It works the same way with the brain.
Yeah, I had a friend growing up. His grandmother was visiting one time. She was from Chicago, and I think she was 90-ish, somewhere around 90. And she would sit down every day without fail and work on the crossword puzzle that was in the big paper. And she was really good at that. I don't know how anyone would know all those answers, but she would go through and know them. And she would finish that whole thing. She was sharp as ever at that age. And I know that a lot of people get, you know, close to that age and have dementia or you know, Alzheimer's and all kinds of things that aren't allowing them to use their brain very, very effectively. So can you talk a little about how exercising our brain is a preventative measure?
Okay. I'm not a doctor. And the research is still being done as far as making claims is concerned.
Yeah.
I can tell you, though, that there's a lot of people who are using various brain activities, and there are some theories out there. And again, these are only theories. There's no evidence to back them up as of yet, or certainly nothing that's been published, at least, or peer-reviewed. But the evidence to me, as a lay scientist, because I am a self-trained scientist, I would say that you are better able to function. I know I am. I have a fair amount of stress in my life, like most of us do, and I'm much better and able to function when I am using these recordings. I can tell you that I have a 90, I think she might be 93 or 94-year-old nun who has been using my recordings for a while now, and she just praises them. Well, she praises God, but she thanks God for my recordings as well. If I can, I just received today a testimonial that might give you all a much better idea as to what is possible, because this is coming from someone else.
Okay.
This is a client of mine. Her name is Rita. I will not give you her last name, but her first name is Rita. Maury, I have your recordings, and I am so excited to tell you how amazing they are. I am losing weight and exercising and feel better than I have in 5 years. It's effortless. After about a week of listening, my whole thought processes have just changed. I get up, I go for a 2 to 3 mile walks, and I've never done that. I'm eating healthier. I have no desire to eat chocolate or desserts anymore. I'm on vacation. The amazing thing is my granddaughter, who has been with me visiting and sleeping in the same room with me, has been hearing these recordings as well, because she's placed them sometimes over speakers. Her eating habits are also transformed. She is asking now for healthy food. Wow. When I get home from vacation, I'll send you some before and after pictures. So this is like for real. She's actually going to send me. She's starting to listen to some of my memory and intelligence work and can't wait now to see how this affects her and her granddaughter. And then she goes on to ask me a few questions about usage and things like that, which aren't necessary. But it gives you an idea of what is possible. You know, everything is tied into the brain. There's a lot of people who will say the heart is more important. There's a lot of people who will say, you know, this is more important or that's more important. Ultimately, every function of your body is equally important.
Yeah.
This is not a competition to say, you know, I'm better because I concentrate on the brain, or they're better because they concentrate on the heart. Everything is equally important. There's an old joke that talks about the different parts of the body vying for leadership, and then the rear end, you know, it says, I want to be the leader. Exactly. And everybody starts laughing at it. And then the rear end closes up for a week, and all of a sudden it's elected president of the body. Because the brain can't think, the heart isn't clean anymore, nothing's working properly. So it's not a matter of I'm better than you are, or you're better than me, or it's not a matter of that. What it's a matter of is holistic thinking here. We want everything to be at its peak level. Now, what this testimonial shows you is that when you condition the brain, other forms of conditioning tend to come more naturally. It's very difficult for people to get off their rear end and go for a walk.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for people to do this, to do that. When you listen to my recordings, you are literally listening to recordings. You don't even have to pay attention.
Right.
Okay. You lie down or you sit with head support, you put on a set of headphones, you close your eyes, you hit play. I don't know how much, you know, I don't know how much less you can do and still accomplish amazing results, any results for that matter. And to sit down or lie down like that for half an hour or an hour every day, 30 minutes at a time, is not asking a lot. And most people waste a lot more time than that.
And so did you say, is it important to actually sit down? You said you don't have to pay attention.
That's correct. You want to be sitting or lying down for optimal results with your eyes closed, stereo headphones, because some of my recordings, I use stereo field technology to actually direct tones and voice to different parts of the brain.
Okay.
And stereo headphones allows me to position my voice and or the tones exactly where I want them to be in the brain for optimal results. So that's why stereo, although most of the recordings don't require stereo headphones, it's easier just to get people to wear stereo headphones for the sake of that. Now, some people ask me about earbuds. Are they okay? Because, you know, you can listen to music with earbuds and it's quite a pleasant experience if they're good quality, right?
Yeah.
Now, the problem is that it's better to use headphones, over-the-ear covering headphones, for a couple of reasons. The over-the-ear will help block out some extraneous sounds, first of all. Secondly, there's a piece of material, literally like a drum almost, you can visualize it as a drum skin inside of headphones and earbuds.
Yeah.
In some earbuds, they're electronic, so there's nothing there, right? But what you want is you want that surface to be large because it's about vibration.
Right.
See, something that most people don't understand is sound doesn't exist. Sound is an interpretation of the brain to vibration that comes in through the auditory nerve through the ear canal. Okay? Sound does not exist. You know, all of you will be at a party at some point if you haven't already been, or at a get-together where someone decides to get really cool with you and says, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? Well, now you can all answer, no, it doesn't make sense. And you can add, by the way, even if there is someone there to hear it, it also does not make a sound. What it does is it creates a vibratory pattern that if there is someone there to experience it, it causes their ear to vibrate, which then sends a signal through the auditory nerve to the brain. The brain then interprets that as sound and creates. So a lot of people say, oh, Maury, I love your voice. And that's very nice of them. I certainly appreciate it. But every single person who hears it slightly differently. And I hear it differently, too, than they hear it. Because our brains are interpreting the vibratory patterns differently.
Right.
So it's all about vibration.
Yeah, so it sounds like what you're saying is that the sound quality or vibration quality with the over-the-ear headphones is a better quality than the earbuds?
Yeah, well, it's again, with music, you're not going to notice a big difference
mm-hmm.
because it's not about vibration. Music is all about just interpreting. What we want to do is we want to do something called entrainment of the neurons, which are your mm-hmm. brain cells. And what entrainment means is, you see, your neurons are cells that generate current. Mm-hmm. So they also create different neurochemicals as a result of that current. So depending on how many times they pulse a second, that's called the brain state. So if you're pulsing at 10, like if you have a majority of your brain cells or neurons pulsing at the rate of 10 times a second, what that basically does is that means that a majority of your brain cells or neurons are in the alpha state.
Hmm.
Okay, because alpha is in the 10 hertz range. 10
right,
hertz
right.
means 10 times per second, on, off, on, off, on, off. So what happens is, if we have properly engineered pulses that are shaped perfectly, your brain recognizes the perfect pattern, because your brain is incredibly intelligent,
yeah.
an incredibly sophisticated tuning mechanism. So when it recognizes the specific pattern and sees it as a perfect pattern, then what it does is, if it's within its optimal range, which is, you know, various people will give you various lines on that, but it can be anywhere from, say, half a hertz, so half a beat per second, all the way up to maybe 40, 50, or even 60 hertz.
Wow.
Now, this is recognized. Doesn't mean the brain can't do a higher range. It just means that your auditory canal can only react so fast. So
right.
even the most effective auditory canal, I don't know if it can reproduce 60 times a second. So you'll hear a bunch of people who are doing, you know, gamma brainwave entrainment, and if their tones aren't shaped properly, and if they're not spaced properly, even if they are, but it's too fast, there's a pretty fair chance your brain's not going to entrain to it, regardless of what their marketing tells you.
All right. Interesting.
So very important to understand that. So what happens is, we get the entrainment through something called the frequency following response. So if you have ba, 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 and all of those buzz look exactly the same, and all of them are shaped exactly the same, and all of them are spaced exactly the same, then after usually at the most about 6 minutes of exposure, your neurons, or an abundance of your neurons, you know, will actually start pulsing at that rate too. Now, there's different neurochemicals that are associated with different pulse rates. So you can literally, you know, create a soup, a brain soup, if you will, just by exposing people to specific frequencies. Interestingly enough, and this is another, you know, belief and theory of mine, is that the human brain, even though it's bigger and more complex than it used to be, the human body is essentially the same. And the human brain is essentially the same too. There's been evolutionary aspects, but in reality, the brain is still the brain. It still has the same basic functions. The hands are still the hands. The eyes are still the eyes. The nose is still the nose. Right back from the beginning of man.
So
when I say man, people out there, please, I mean everybody, mankind, women as well. So what happens is that we end up in a very unique situation, in that back in the olden times, now we're talking hundreds of thousands of years ago, even more, what happened was, we actually had a much less stressful existence. We lived primarily in the moment. Okay. We ate, we drank, we went to the washroom. Okay. We had sex. We weren't sure why we were doing it, but we were doing it. And we went to sleep, and then we woke up and we did it all over again. And, you know, a little hunting, a little pecking, a little all this kind of stuff in between. But that was our lives, period. There were no taxes. There were no worrying about diseases or worrying about tomorrow or worrying about yesterday. Okay. Our lives were much calmer, much more serene, much more natural. And this is how the brain is designed. So as we've evolved, and as we've gotten more technologically, and as we develop culture, and as we develop society, and as we develop economy and all this other crap, and it is all crap, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, it's been completely disruptive to our natural way of being. I mean, right down to the fact that electricity totally screws up your circadian rhythm, which is your
right.
sleep cycle. Okay. Normally, we got up with the sun, we got tired, and we went to sleep when the sun went down.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we have lights on everywhere. Fools our bodies into thinking the day is longer. We don't get enough sleep. When we do sleep, we don't get enough quality sleep. And that adds to a whole slew of other problems. So you can see all the horrible stresses that we're under now.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, back then, because things were simpler, our brains were able to maintain dominant frequencies for legitimately longer periods of time, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15, maybe 20, maybe even hours at a time. Who knows? Right. We didn't have EEGs back then to be able to, you know, staple them onto caveman
right.
and see what the brainwave activity is doing. But the bottom line is, because of the simpler life, okay, they had naturally, it's reasonable to assume that they naturally had more stable brainwaves, which then you can infer, well, if they had more stable brainwaves, then the natural production of endorphins and hormones and neurochemistry that gets produced by these brainwaves would also be something normal and also something that we need. Now, fast forward to the present, their future, okay? We might get a dominant frequency for a second or two at a time.
Right.
Not for minutes, not for 10 minutes, not for 20 minutes, okay? Seconds. And then we flit off to the next dominant frequency. And different parts of the brain are all over the place. Now, that creates a horribly disruptive system, not just from nervous and stress, but also from the fact that our brains have been designed to have exposure and, you know, experience of all this neurochemistry that we are not giving it anymore.
Yeah.
So we have stress. We have depression. In North America, we are the most medicated for depression. All the research in the world shows that the most primitive people in the world are the happiest people in the world.
Yeah.
So we would look at them in their mud thatch houses and go, oh my God, how do these poor people live? And they, if they knew about us and knew about our circumstances, they'd go, oh, these poor fools.
Right.
They think they're doing the right thing, but they're doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. All they're doing is they're killing themselves softly.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how the brain works. That's my theory on how the brain works. It makes perfect sense. All my research points to this. I went through a history of hell on earth for 35 years. And I have thousands and thousands and thousands of clients all over the world that back up this philosophy. And it never ceases to amaze me how people are so interested in giving credibility to concepts that are thousands of years old.
Right.
You know, we have a better understanding now about how the mind works. We have a better understanding medically and psychologically how the psyche works and how the body works and how our environment works and why the sun rises or appears to rise in the sky. And it's the earth's position and nature and geography and geology and all these things. We know so much more about now than we ever knew in our history. Doesn't mean we know everything.
No.
But as we get more knowledge, we get a better understanding. This is our nature.
Yeah.
So why do we believe in things like lessons that were taught to us thousands of years ago from basically ignorant people who didn't know anything?
Yeah.
Now, some of them, Plato, Socrates, they had great ideas. They were wise. But their concepts were only concepts. Nothing can really be proven. It's just we can have a better understanding of one thing over another. So, for instance, as an example, and then I promise I'll shut up. As an example, you know, we have the classic affirmation.
Yeah.
Which everybody does. And it doesn't work with crap. But at the same time, it works flawlessly every time. Okay? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that's true. It's too bad there's no commercial message, because that would be a good time for a commercial. But this is why affirmations suck, and this is why they're perfectly effective. They suck because for thousands of years we have been told the proper way to do an affirmation is to say, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am rich. I am healthy. I am happy. I am thin. I am in good shape. I am this. I am that. Well, the problem with I am is, first of all, it's crap. It's totally disempowering. We all know we're not. And that's going to sabotage it. It isn't going to work. The way we learn, because when you're born, Jeremy, you're what is called a tabula rasa, a blank slate. You don't know what pretty is. You don't know what handsome is. You don't know what ugly is. You don't know what beautiful is. You don't know what smart is. You don't know what stupid is. You don't know what ignorant is. You don't know what knowledge is. You don't know what car is. You don't know anything. That's right. So that's why when we're younger, we're actually better off.
Yeah.
However, what happens is as we grow, we get experience, we get exposure from outside, not from inside, not I am. It's you are. It is. That is the kind of affirmation that works. By the time you hear you are, it is enough times that if you believe in it, that's when it becomes I am.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're out there and you want to do affirmations, give your friends or someone you respect or even someone you don't know a list of things you want to affirm. Have them change I am to you are and let them read it for you. And then you listen to it as much as you can. Because that's how you learn. You learn from outside. You don't learn from inside. You don't learn anything from yourself. You learn everything from outside. And that's how affirmations work. Now, on that other end.
We lost you for a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where did I? Anyway, the bottom line is think. You have a brain. So think. Right? Don't believe, like, even what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is my research. These are my conclusions. Take them in. Think about them, make them your own if you're inspired to do so. Once they are your own, then you decide whether you want to act on them or not.
Yeah.
That's how they will be effective for you. But rest assured, many lessons we are taught from our parents that are very nice people, I'm sure, and they want to help us, and our grandparents and their parents and so on and so forth, teachers, they do not understand how we learn things. And because they don't understand, they don't get across what's really helpful. And this is why most people suffer, and this is why most people have problems, and this is why most people have issues that never seem to go away. And so many people in the self-improvement area never, ever seem to get anywhere, despite the fact that they've bought 4,000 products, despite the fact that they've done 50,000 things. And that's why. Because they don't understand that whatever is being taught has to be taken within themselves.
Huh.
Once it's taken within themselves, then they can decide on how to interpret it, how it affects them, how it relates to them. That makes it their own. They can act on that, and that will likely give them results that they're looking for.
Yeah. So, Maury, I know in the short time that I've been listening to your product, I've noticed some changes myself. Just in, I guess the one that seems easiest to explain is that I feel like I've been able to be more like calm and grounded mentally in ways that I don't know that I could have intended if I wanted. It just worked that way, and all I did was listen. It was like so easy. So, but I know that you had a real dramatic experience when you discovered this technology. Could you talk a little more about your experience?
Sure. I'm almost 55 years old.
Okay.
For the first 35 years or so, I lived in extreme depression. Now, back when I was a kid being super depressed, I just thought everybody was like this. So I never even thought anything was wrong. As I got older, I did see some doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists. But this was in the days before they gave pills for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And all they did was said, well, you know what? You're coping really well. And they said, see ya, nothing I can do for you, you're coping really well. Which is made me think, you know, okay, I'm coping well, but why do I have to cope? I'm miserable. I want to be dead.
Right.
I've had multiple suicide attempts when I was younger as well. And one of the things about multiple attempts is you don't really want to die because it's pretty easy to do it if you want to.
Yeah.
So there was obviously a part of me that wanted to go, but more of me wanted to stick around. And so what happened was, I was doing everything and buying everything, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to, to see what could work for them. And I was reading books and you know, nothing was helping. You know, certain things kind of made sense to me, but, you know, I never acted on them or did anything. Lots of people offering to help me, but again, me not really listening. It's tough. It's tough to understand or to take something as a truth or even helpful when you wake up every morning, you look out the window and you cross your fingers hoping to see mushroom clouds. Because my depression was so severe that I not only wanted to be gone, I wanted everyone gone.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't enough for me just to go. I wanted the whole freaking world gone.
Right. Did depression run in your family or anything?
No. No, and it turns out, as far as I can tell, it might have been a neurochemical issue, because once I did come across this technology and I started developing my own version of it, it started getting better.
Huh.
So
Wow.
Yeah, I have loving parents, really fantastic parents, a great brother, a great family. I don't know how I managed to have friends.
Yeah.
But I did somehow. And my friends were great and are great. The ones I still have now are great also. And, I really didn't have a reason to be. I mean, I did a lot of dope. I did a lot of marijuana, a lot of drinking.
Uh-huh.
I guess people just thought that, you know, the way I was, you know, they never saw how bad it was because I kind of hid it from most people.
Yeah.
But,
we learn how to
do
that well.
Yeah, we tend to do that really well. And even my attempts on my own life, no one ever knew about them. So they weren't cries for help.
Yeah.
It's not like someone found me with my wrist slit, you know, and they saved me, or they found me with an empty bottle of pills nearby. No one found me. I would just try stupid things and I'd wake up and then I'd go, shit, it didn't work. Oh, sorry. No. Oh, no, it didn't work. But, you know, the truth is, I mean, and you can hear the way I talk about this, there's no emotion tied to it anymore.
Yeah.
That's because I've dealt with it. And what you were saying about how you're just listening and then you suddenly notice you're calmer and more at ease.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that happens when you exercise your brain properly with properly engineered, neural programming, which is really brainwave entrainment. What happens is you tend to get what you need as opposed to what you think you need.
Oh.
So I thought I needed this. I thought I needed that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started doing this technology, suddenly I was just hearing people when they were going blah, blah, blah before, and now I'm not hearing words, you know, and it's true. I know it sounds like funny, right? Like I could be doing a stand-up routine with all of this, but it's true. I mean, this is the truth. This is how it is. And, you know, it's unfortunate that I went through it, but it's actually fortunate. I have like kind of like a kiddie saying that goes, I couldn't be so happy now if I didn't feel so crappy then.
Right.
Because it taught me so many things. And one of the things is, you know, there's nothing inherently good or bad in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Not even murder, not even death, not even sickness. Nothing is inherently bad. It just is.
Yeah.
And we interpret it as bad. We interpret it as sad. We interpret it this way. We interpret it that way. So when something quote unquote bad happens to us, instead of thinking of it as something bad, what if we thought about it as something to learn from, a lesson, if you will? When I started thinking that way, all of a sudden I was, you know, a lot of the bad things slowed down. They stopped happening as much because I realized now I'm getting the lesson.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had this ever happen to you, but I know a lot of my friends did and I did. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, like really young, my mom's on the phone, she's cooking dinner, right?
Yeah.
Or my dad is cooking dinner. Either way, they're distracted, they're on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I see them in the kitchen, and I see the element on the stove is glowing gold, right? Glowing orange. And I'm going, ooh, that's cool. So I start reaching out to it. And mom sees me, and she goes, honey, don't do that. Don't touch that. You'll burn yourself. It'll hurt. It's that. And a nice, smooth voice, right?
Yeah.
But of course, as a kid, I go, okay, mom. And then as soon as she starts looking the other way, my hand is heading there again. And she sees it. And she goes, Maury, I told you don't do that. That time, same message, stronger, sterner, more intention there, right?
Whoa, okay.
Third time,
cool about this.
Third time she catches me, she slaps my hand and yells, right? Fourth time she doesn't catch me and I burn the crap out of my hand. Okay. But it taught me a lesson. And the lesson is that sometimes bad things seem to happen over and over and over again to people because they interpret them as bad things.
Uh-huh.
If instead of interpreting them as bad things, they interpreted them as lessons to be learned, and it's just the universe's way of giving us, getting our attention, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then maybe if we learn a lesson, it doesn't have to escalate. Teach us that lesson. So it can talk softly, and if we listen to it, it won't talk harshly. Then it won't talk harshly and have to hit us, and then it won't talk harshly and we'll burn ourselves.
Yeah, that is a powerful life lesson.
Oh, you're telling me.
Yeah.
And then I remembered all of that as I started using the entrainment again, and the lesson started being learned. And believe me, I'm a human just like all of you, and you know, so-called, quote-unquote, educational experiences happen to me all the time, too. Just like you. I'm trying to look at them as educational experiences as opposed to bad things. Because when you look at them as bad things, you miss the point. You miss the lesson.
Yeah.
That's there.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody recently that they got rear-ended, and they were doing exactly that. Wow, what is the lesson here? Why did this
Smart.
Happen? What can I get out of this? What's the life lesson?
You gotta pay attention.
Yeah.
Well, think about how much worse it could be next time.
Right.
What if you're walking somewhere and you're using Pokemon Go or something and you walk off a curb and fall flat on your face. Right? And
my,
you go, oh,
it's
a horrible thing. My nose is broken. Horrible thing. Well,
yeah.
What if you didn't fall on the curb and you walked right into a car and killed yourself?
Yeah.
So falling flat on your nose, it was actually a good thing that happened because hopefully it's going to smarten you up before something horrible happens. Close call in a car is a great example.
Yeah.
That you're not paying enough attention to your surroundings.
Yeah.
You know, but again, most people won't even consider that. And then progressively, the close calls will get closer and closer and eventually they get into an accident.
Right. Or,
most
or
people
a health
can
crisis.
Or... Yeah. Or a health crisis or anything. And
yeah.
Most people, if they bothered to give it some thought, could actually retrace their steps for anything that they think is bad that happened to them and see that there were things that they did and signs that they were given that they ignored.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So let's see. With the brain stuff, what could you talk about some of the studies that you've done that's helped you to get more clear on what's working and what's not?
Okay, I have I usually get 10 people locally that I test things on. First, I test everything on myself because I need to make sure it's not going to cause harm.
Right.
And believe me, I have sometimes I've developed some things. I actually developed one technology where I actually destroyed my computer because I didn't want to be able to reproduce it. It was horrible.
Whoa.
I had a great idea, but apparently the idea didn't create what I wanted it to create. It actually created the exact opposite. And it was time to get rid of that and to get rid of the tech and to get rid of the ideas and the notes and all the research and just destroy it all. So I literally took an axe to my computer and I chopped up the hard drive and I burned all my notes. You know,
okay.
So I test things, you know, believe it or not, there's a ton of research on the brain.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of research on its interaction with light and sound and environment and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. I look at the current research. I look at old research. I apply it and then I test it on myself. If I find beneficial results or even neutral results, because I won't always benefit from something that others will, then I introduce it to a team of 10 or so people and I see what kind of results they get.
Huh.
And then I go from there and then it just grows from there. And then I create a system from that technology and then the system gets checked out by a bunch of my clients. I give them free copies and they, you know, it's under the condition. Generally, it's interesting because if you give people free things, they will disappear on you. So I came up with a great idea where I charge people $100 to test my stuff.
Huh.
And you kind of ask yourself, well, why would someone pay $100 to test something that isn't even proven yet?
Yeah.
Well, this is why. Because if they give me feedback for 6 weeks, at least 3 feedback, okay, mm-hmm. at least, descriptive paragraphs describing their usage and their experience at least every 2 weeks for a 6-week period, then I will give them their money back and $50. And they get to keep the product for free.
Wow.
Yeah. So that inspires people to actually take part in research.
Yeah.
Because now they're making money on the deal.
Right. You
plus, they're getting a product that's probably going to sell for somewhere between $100 and $200 or $300 for nothing also. So that's what I do. And then once I have, proof of concept, I put finishing touches on and then I release it. And usually this is like a 2-3 year protocol. That it takes between the initial research, the creation. And I tend to come out with new types of or new variations on my technology every couple of years. And I'm also working on others as well as we're speaking. I can currently work on about 13 to 40 or 50 different things, most of which don't pan out.
Uh-huh.
But I would say 20-25% of them actually do an incredible job.
Yeah. So what as far as technologies and so forth, I know that the military and the government have done all kinds of studies on PSYOPs and so forth.
Yep.
And do you tap into some of that with your research or well, I don't know if they allow any of that actually.
Well, you know, knowledge is an interesting thing. The US Navy, I believe, created the internet. And I think originally it was created to try to control the dissemination of information so that they could release what they wanted to release. Of course, it grew, you know, incredibly fast and incredibly out of control. And now information abounds. So it's really a matter of, you know, you see what you see and then you have to decide if there's any validity to it or not. So, you know, as a scientist, and this is something that most scientists would never admit to, but as I was saying earlier, a real scientist is someone who does not go by the standards.
Yeah.
Someone who thinks outside the box and is willing to try things outside the box. Now, as I'm not a medical professional, I don't have to worry about creating some kind of medical, you know, chemical cure and then injecting it in myself to see if I grow it or die, right? Okay. Because I'm using sound, you know, I'm a little bit easier. I can deal with what I need to do easier because it's all vibration and we're exposed to vibration all the time.
Yeah.
Our bodies are actually held together by frequency.
Yeah.
We're not glued together. So.
Yeah. So let me say real quick for everyone listening on the call or to the replay, if you go to earthiswakingup.com/Mori, and that's spelled M-O-R-R-Y, if you go down and click on the special offer button, it'll take you to his page and you'll see the package he's got there. So, Mori, I was wondering if you could talk about some more about the benefits that people would see in their lives or that are likely,
sure.
Right? Some of the examples maybe or something along those lines.
Sure. Well, people tend to, you know, it's interesting because I don't actually like suggesting to people what they may experience.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. And then I will do it for you because you asked so nicely.
Okay.
But the reason I don't like it is because everybody's brain is different. And my systems are very different in that they do not operate on me being brilliant or a genius and teaching you things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not introducing you to concepts. Everything I've talked about today, like on this call, has been strictly related to my experiential philosophy. So you take it in if it means anything to you, if it opens an eye, and then you interpret it within your own experience, and then you go from there.
Yeah.
I don't give you lessons. You are your own guru. The only person who has an answer for you is you. The big self-improvement people out there whose names I don't have to mention because everybody knows who they are. These people are very nice people, I'm sure. I haven't met any of them, so I couldn't tell you for sure. But I'm sure they're very nice people, and I'm sure they have great intentions. But, you know, even Tony Robbins could literally write out for you a step-by-step how I became a trillionaire.
Yeah.
And he could literally do it step by step by step.
Yeah.
And if 100 people did exactly his process, step by step by step, not one of them would become a millionaire, never mind a trillionaire. Because nobody else is Tony Robbins.
Yeah, yeah.
We can only be experts for ourselves. This is what the truth is. Okay, there's no secret. The truth is, you are your own expert. If you have an issue, you also have a solution. This is how the universe works. There is a yin, there is a yang. There is a zero, there is a one. The universe always works. There's no such thing as the glass is half full or the glass is half empty. The glass is always full, regardless. It's either half full with water and half full with air, or it's fully full with air, or it's fully full with water, or orange juice, or milk, or whatever you want to stick in your glass, right? It's all concept. So the idea is, if you have an issue, you also have a solution. You cannot exist without the other half. Both exist concurrently at the same time. Your attention is put on the negative aspect, so you do not see the positive aspect. So what happens is the entrainment. See, this is what happened with me, right? Everybody is telling me all these things I should be trying and doing, and I'm hearing blah, 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 and I look out the window, come on, mushroom cloud, mushroom cloud, mushroom cloud. You know, and all these things. And it struck me, you know, I'm reading all these books, I'm trying all these programs. I tried other people's entrainment, I tried hypnosis, I tried all these things.
Yeah.
You know, meditations, everything. And nothing worked for me. And I'm thinking, you know, no matter what I put in, it isn't changing my negative thoughts.
Yeah.
And negative thoughts are a cycle, because you get enough negative experiences or things you interpret as negative, what ends up happening is you end up creating chemistry.
Yeah.
You see, because this is how the brain works and this is how you feel. If you're happy, it's because something happens or you're thinking about something and you decide, well, how does this make me feel? It makes me feel really good. Okay, how good does it make you feel? Well, really, really good. Okay, well, what kind of good? Is it sexual good? Is it happy good? Is it loving good? Is it family good? Is it this good? Is it that good? And all these things happen like that, like the snap of a finger. That's how fast these steps happen. But they do happen. Once that decision is made, your brain creates chemistry to back up and support whatever conclusions you have drawn from the stimulus. So if you're happy and you're aroused and you're excited, you feel happy and aroused and excited. But that's because you made a decision and then your brain created chemistry to support that decision, to make you feel good. Something bad happens, how bad? Blah, 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 blah. You feel bad. You don't feel bad because of what happened. You feel bad because of how you chose to interpret it. And then your brain creates chemistry that backs that up. So we now know how the brain creates chemistry, and we know how the brain, you know, reacts to environmental, and how we have to decide, make decisions, and all these decisions happen really, really fast. Okay. Yep. So what happens is we end up going through this process where we make all these decisions, and then we decide good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
And everything happens around us. So
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you'd seen the movie What the Bleep, because it's got a great illustration.
No, I haven't.
Love that movie back in 2004, I think it was. And they illustrated this really well, how the hypothalamus puts out these different hormones that are either positive or negative, and they plug into the receptors in the brain depending on what it is that we're the feeling that we're going for, and those receptors are like rewards when the hormones plug in, and so we end up creating this biological habit. So it feeds the brain. So if we're continuously thinking negative thoughts, see, I told you so, we're feeding those negative receptors, and so, like you said, it creates this cycle. And
that's
same
right.
thing if it's positive, you know, if we're looking for happy things and looking for beautiful things in the world, and then we manifest those, we find those in the world.
That's right. Exactly. And you know what the cool thing is? The cool thing is that just like that, I was feeding all my negative receptors.
Yeah.
And that's still a reward to those so-called negative receptors.
Yep.
And I wasn't hearing people and I wasn't listening to people. And I thought to myself, you know what? No matter what brilliance I'm reading in books, no matter what great advice I'm getting, I'm just not hearing it. I'm not listening to it. I'm not changing my negative thoughts. And then my negative thoughts, of course, create more negative chemistry, which then creates more negative thoughts. And this is the cycle.
Proof
it struck me, what if I could change the chemistry? I can't change my thoughts. But what if I could change the chemistry?
That's ingenious, right? Maury.
Isn't that cool if I could change the chemistry? If I could change the chemistry, would that then change my thoughts?
Yeah.
Because the chemistry is created by my thoughts. If I then change the perpetual negative chemistry into something else, would that then make my thoughts different?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, how the whole entrainment thing came to be. And I started realizing that I could entrain my neurons to a different frequency and make that frequency dominant and thus get different chemistry going on. And lo and behold, it changed how I thought. It changed how I listened. It changed what I read and how I interpreted things. All of a sudden, a completely negative outlook turned into something with potential, with possibility. I was actually able to smile, and it wasn't an act.
Right.
You know?
So this is a perfect segue into talking about your package, because it's got some amazing tools within it to help us shift that chemistry within our own minds. If, you know, if that's the way it works for us, it, you know, we'll just have to try it out and see if that's what works. And so again, to everyone listening, if you go to earthiswakingup.com/Morry, M-O-R-R-Y, and click on the special offer button. It'll take you to his page if you want to follow along. So look in here. There's some different pieces to it, some different modules. Do you want to walk us through that?
Yeah, sure. Okay. The way it works is like this, okay? We have a system. This isn't just a bunch of recordings that have been haphazardly thrown together. So it's actually a system. And the way the system works is there's two main recordings, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is how the recordings go. The first one is called Neural Synergy. Yeah. And that recording is basically designed to create new neural pathways in your brain just by listening. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't actually have to pay attention.
Okay. That's one of the things I love, yeah.
Yeah, and there's no notes to take, and there's, you know, nothing like that. So you don't actually have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just listen. By listening, it exercises the brain. It creates neural pathways. It helps with things like memory, all kinds of different things.
Yeah. Okay.
The other main recording, now if you guys and girls, of course, go to the website, you will be able to get more details on the recordings. But I'll just give you, you know, a general synopsis now. And then there's another main recording called Eden Energy, okay, Eden Energy Wave Dynamics. This one is the world's first audio dual brainwave recording. So what that means is it actually entrains the hemispheres of your brain to two separate and distinct frequencies.
Huh.
The reason why that is important is everybody's heard of whole brain entrainment and whole brain conditioning and all these things. And they think it's like, you know, the bee's knees, as, you know, my grandparents would have said. The truth of the matter is most of our activity requires the hemispheres to not be synchronized.
Right. So like our public education system seems to focus solely on the left brain thinking and it doesn't really exercise the corpus callosum, which is the part of the brain that helps the right and left brain communicate
with each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not a lot of people know that. I'm pretty impressed. Yeah. It's like a little barrier sheath between the hemispheres that, you know, is the conduit, if you will. It's kind of like the plug.
Yeah.
From one side to the other. So what happens is this recording helps to train the brain to be able to function in two different frequencies at the same time, dominant frequencies. Wow. Now, keep in mind that even though I'm talking to you and I'm awake and I'm standing and everything's fine, I am not only in beta.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because most people would associate awake and alert with beta, which is true to a point, but there's actually delta frequencies bubbling around in my head right now, which is normally associated with sleep. They're just not dominant.
Right.
Okay, so we're talking dominant frequencies here. So Eden Energy has this incredible effect for building energy because, again, it's a very natural process. It releases different chemistry that works very well together between the two frequencies. And it has this amazing ability to stop internal chatter.
Hmm.
To help you just... yeah, and that's something a lot of us have, especially negative self-talk.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's where our left brain specializes in making us tell everything, right?
Well, it's incredible the differences that you can feel as a result of having your mind. And again, this isn't a matter of whether you believe or not. This isn't a matter, I mean, if you listen properly, and if you fight the effects, yes, you can fight the effects. If you really want to prove you're right and not get any benefits, you can do that. No question.
Yeah.
But if you are open-minded and you just don't believe, but you're open-minded, hey, I'll give this a shot, you will likely be very amazed at the kind of effects that you will feel. And the important thing to remember is, we'll go on in a moment, but with all of these recordings, it's not about necessarily how you feel while you're listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These recordings create and help you to create a different type of chemistry in your brain, which once it flows through has long-term effects.
Yeah.
So like hours and hours. Once you do these things on a regular basis, the effects can literally be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're doing it on a regular basis. So those two recordings are the two main recordings and you basically choose one or the other to use as your main recording. So this system is designed to be listened to one recording on one day, two recordings, which we're going to get into one of the other two coming up now, on the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're listening to Neural Synergy on Monday. On Tuesday, you might listen to Neural Synergy and or Eden Energy, either or, and one of the whole brain gratitude meditation mm-hmm. or the emotive brainwave hypnosis.
Mm.
So the whole brain gratitude meditation is presented with a special background sound, as well as a specialized pulse rate and a guided meditation from me, where I am guiding you in how you need to appreciate. You need to put your attention on things that you're grateful for.
Yeah.
Okay. We see what we think of. So there's no, in my mind, there's really no such thing as the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply, there are no laws like that at all anyway. That's just a sales term. we're brought up to respect the law, so we don't ask questions about the
right.
law. So if someone doesn't want to have their theory questioned, they call it the law of
right.
It's like the law of gravity. If I suddenly started floating, do you really think the police would come and arrest me because I'm breaking the law? It's silly. I mean, really silly when we think about our world around us and all the things we just choose to believe without thinking about.
Yeah.
So my big lesson, the big takeaway from this, folks, think. You have a brain. So there's the gratitude meditation, which literally takes you through nuances and minutia of things that you can think about that will help to give you a gratitude attitude that helps
yeah.
you to see more things to be grateful for.
So it's really powerful already, a really powerful tool mm-hmm. to focus on gratitude, because it helps
yeah,
us
very.
To bring more of that into our lives, right?
Well, you notice it.
So,
you're looking
yeah.
for it. When you look, you get what you look for. That's
yeah.
right.
And
you
so my guess is that you've put some science into this meditation as well that helps attune the brain to that.
Yes.
To get
true.
Even more benefit out of the gratitude meditation. I love that.
That is true. And the words that are spoken are chosen specifically – again, not for me to give you orders
uh-huh.
or for me to program you, but for you to be inspired naturally to think of it within context of your own experience.
Yeah.
Because everybody's different. So some of the things I say in there, some people might get their backup. Like, there's something about being grateful for the police and fire department. Some people aren't that grateful. They don't really like the police very much, or they don't like the fire department very much. And, they may have a little bit of a reflex against that. But as they listen, what happens is their brain ends up translating into their own experience so that they can relate to it. Everything is specifically chosen so that I am not programming you. I am giving you seeds, which then plant and are grown in the fertile mind, which is yours.
Yeah.
The next recording is called the emotive brainwave hypnosis. Too many people are too high and too low, and it's a roller coaster, and it's depressing, and it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And this meditation helps to get them, or hypnosis helps to get them into a state where they're more normal. It doesn't mean you don't get really high, you don't get excited, you don't get happy, but it means that you're more reasonable about the whole thing. And it's not like diving off a mountain after you've climbed to the top.
Yeah. Can I ask a quick question on that?
Yeah, of course.
Just out of curiosity, how this works, is this somehow retraining those receptors in the brain to balance out what they're looking for instead of being too polarized one way or the other?
That is an interesting way to put it. I would have to say yes. In more lay terms, I would say it's like a farmer. A
uh-huh.
farmer has to aerate the earth, fertilize the earth, nutritionalize the earth, minerals and various nitrates and things that are important
yeah.
for the earth, for things to grow. And then, okay, so that's what all these other things are doing, the brainwave entrainment that's in it, the pulse, the pulsing, the shh, and the other embedded frequencies that I've created that you
yeah.
don't actually hear. And then the words are like the seeds.
Huh.
Okay,
awesome.
So the words would be the reprogramming. And the changing of these things, of how that works. But it all happens without you needing to think about it. It's like driving a car. I mean, I know how to drive a car, but, if it broke down, I wouldn't know what to do to fix it.
Right.
Now, other things that are important here. A lot of people like subliminals, so I created two subliminals that go along with this as well. One
right.
is on health and the other health and wellness. The other is on prosperity. Okay. And both of those are subliminal, so you can listen to those anytime you want. They don't have any entrainment aspect, so you don't need to. Now, don't drive when you're listening to the entrainments, okay? Anything with a pulse tone, you don't drive. But the But the subliminals, you know, car sounds and the road sounds might eliminate most of the effects. So I would say, you know, while you're cooking, while you're cleaning, even in the background while you're watching TV, you just need to be able to hear it if you concentrate on it. That's all you need. And then that actually gives you over 2 million positive statements every hour of listening that are in the background. Now, research has proven that people who know that there are subliminals in the background and they know that they're positive with a specific purpose actually get benefits related to it.
Is it possible to make it even more beneficial when you intend to be getting the positive benefits from that?
It'll be even better. Well, that's part of it, because remember, you're willing for it to be there. But if you're even excited for it to be there, the more into it being there, every time like there's a commercial or there's a break in the show and you hear shh, or you hear the sound of nature or whatever's in the background, and it makes you smile because it reminds you, oh yeah, all these positive things being thrown at me nonstop is amazing. That will have a better effect. Certainly it will. Now, the last thing, and I'm not going to get into the bonuses. You all can go to the website and you can check out the bonuses. There's lots of bonuses there too. But the last two recordings are really, really important. One of them is called the Schumann Resonance. This recording is specially designed to mimic the average rate of the ionosphere, the magnetic field that surrounds the Earth. Now, some people will tell you this field is changing. They really don't know what they're talking about. Okay. Depending on what part of the world you're in and what altitude you're at and where you put your sensor, you will get different readings in the magnetic field, and it will fluctuate as well. This is the overall average on a planetary scale, okay? 7.83 hertz. That's 7.83 times a second that the beats will pulse in your ears.
It's like the Earth's heartbeat.
Incredible grounding. Well, think about it. It's Mother Earth, right? It's like the heartbeat of the Earth. So it is incredibly grounding experience. You can actually replace the neural synergy recording sometimes with that one if you wish, if you want to have a little change up. They're actually very similar, very close in frequency, but they're not exact. And that's the, and believe it or not, even a subtle difference creates a subtle effect difference as well. Now, the last recording I'm going to talk about from this is called Good Night, Sleep Well.
Talk about
Most
a valuable
people
tool.
Do not understand. Exactly. They do not understand how important it is to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And most people don't get a good night's sleep because they're thinking about crap when they go to bed. And, you know, I was just at my chiropractor's today and he was telling me how his kid woke him up and, last night, daddy, spend time with me, blah, blah, blah. And he was up all night with the other kid.
He was exhausted.
And his wife let him sleep in a couple of hours after she took the kids, right? So he could have a couple of hours extra sleep. And he told me that he dreamed that his kids were annoying him the whole time.
Oh, no.
Not annoying. He loves his children. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, sometimes, as we all know, kids can be a little much. And today, for him, they're a little much. So he dreamt about that. So you can imagine those 2 extra hours of sleep were definitely useful for him, but not as useful as it could have been.
Right.
Because of the stress and because of all the thought processes going around in his head. Now, good night, sleep well. What that does is it mimics the first half of the first adult average sleep cycle. As we sleep, the first sleep cycle tends to be around 90 minutes or so, and then they get shorter and shorter and shorter. We usually go between 5 and 7 cycles.
Right.
Okay. Before we wake up.
If we sleep
and
all night.
The first cycle, that's right. And the first cycles go from beta when you're awake and getting ready to lie down. You close your eyes. That naturally takes you into alpha. And then you go into theta, which is where the dreaming happens. And then you go into delta for a while. And then delta goes back into theta, which goes back into alpha, which goes back into beta, and up and down. It's a nice little cycle. Everyone's seen it in the magazine, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So the idea here is, originally, I was going to do a 7-hour version and an 8-hour version because of the entrainment. What happens is your brain will naturally try to follow these frequencies. The problem is, what if I design a system that isn't natural for you? It could be more disruptive than anything else. So what I thought is, this is the best way to do it. This recording is 50 minutes. That's 50. Okay. You put it on over a speaker at a very quiet volume when you go to sleep. Very quiet volume. Like, bah, 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 bah. It has a little shh and little watery type sound to it, very nice and relaxing. The beats help to distract you from everything you're thinking about, so it quiets the mind. Okay.
Right.
It leads you into the first half of the cycle. So it actually goes from beta to alpha. From beta to alpha to theta to delta. And then in delta, it just fades out. And if you use it regularly, the concept is and the idea is that it helps you to retrain your own sleep cycle. So it's kind of like when your parents used to teach you how to ride that two-wheeler the first time. They would be holding on to the back of it and they'd be running with you for a while, right? Maybe 30 or 40 steps, and then they let go, and you're on your own. It's the same thing with good night sleep well. A lot of people use it as a sleeping pill. It's not designed that way, although that's how it works for me too. I can listen to it in the middle of the day and be out for 6 hours after that, even if I slept all night. But it's designed to help retrain an unhealthy sleep cycle. So it's designed to be used every night when you go to sleep, over a speaker at a quiet volume, and it kind of takes you by the hand for the first half of your first cycle. And then over time, because it's a healthy representative of a healthy adult cycle, over time, your own cycle picks it up and rides on its own.
Wow.
And people's sleep tends to get better and better and better. And then there's a whole slew of again, I won't get into those now, but of specific bonuses that we're throwing in as well. One point I'd like to make, though, for all of you who are going to be purchasing this, use Quantum Mind Power as directed for at least a month, maybe two, before you start playing around with the bonuses. Unless you have time enough in the day that you can do Quantum Mind Power properly and then add extra recordings.
Okay.
All of my systems and recordings are designed to be what I call synergistically compatible, which means they all work very well together. But when you first start a system, it's imperative that you do it properly, and it's imperative that you do it at least for a month to give your body and your mind a chance to get used to what is going on and give it a good running start, kind of like good night sleep well. Let me hold your hand for the first month or two while you use this stuff. After that, use your intuition and instinct.
Yeah. I think another possibly important point to make is not to jump in and listen to it for 6 hours at a time, right?
That's true. Just like exercise. That's a really good point. Just like exercise, it's important to have rest periods in between. So if you do want to listen, you can listen more than I suggest. But at least for the first couple of months, leave at least a 30-minute pause in between.
Yeah.
Because just like exercise, you need that opportunity to allow the neurochemistry that is produced to run through your system.
Yeah. This is awesome. So let me just talk a little bit about my experience with it. As I already mentioned, I have used the Sleep One, and I did notice that I slept better those nights. I haven't used it as regularly as you've talked about yet, but I've used it a little here and there. And in those times, I've definitely noticed improvements in my sleep, but also in the, like I was talking about each day, I felt like I was more grounded or centered and felt more organized in a sense. Like I was just able to more easily get a sense of where I was at and where I was going. Just seemed easier and less random. My thoughts seemed a little more clear than like, no, it was more than a little, it seemed obvious. and so I think I'm convinced that I want to go back to listening to that more regularly.
Well, it's weird, and you're right, because most people can't understand how something that seems so simple on its surface can have such an effect.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You know, nothing is inherently complicated. Unfortunately, in our society, most so-called, you know, quote-unquote experts feel the need to speak gobbledygook and, you know, just they have to impress the world that, you know,
right.
I, Maury Zelkovich, am the most important thing in your life.
Right.
You know what? I am not important in this at all. I could get picked up by aliens tomorrow and disappear.
That's one of the things I appreciate so much about you is you don't seem to have the big ego like some people have. You're like me. You're like, meh.
Yeah, I mean, you're the important part, not me. It's entirely you. Right. You don't thank a hammer for building you a deck, right?
Right.
Yeah, you certainly don't go and you invite your friends and family over for that first barbecue. You don't go, hey, look at what this hammer built. So look what I built.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing with you. You build yourself just as much as you build anything else.
Yep. And tools like this make it possible.
That's right.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Maury, for being on the show, for providing this, for doing the work that you do, for discovering what you discovered about, would you say it was about 20 years ago, the life experiences that you had that brought you from the misery over to a more enlightened view on life where you could see the glass as half full or always full.
Yep, always full.
And the work you share with the world, I love it. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I want to thank the listeners as well. I've been working to bring speakers and their products onto the show that can make a big positive difference in the world. So again, like I ask with a bunch of the talks is, you know, check in with your intuitive knowing, with your self-empowered perspective on the world of what might make a positive benefit for you and the people around you in the world. If this is something that would add to that experience for you and benefit you in the world, please check it out. I guess with that, I'll close. So any final words, Maury?
Well, I guess if there was one thing that I'd want to really get through and drill home.
Yeah, perfect.
Is that you all remember you have a mind for a reason, and it's not to be a follower, it's to be a leader. Every single one of you has an important purpose, an important reason for being here. And it doesn't matter if you make $5 an hour. It doesn't matter if you make $50,000 an hour. It doesn't matter what your position is, what you do as a job. The universe is mathematically precise. You would not be here if you were not needed and supposed to be here. So feel good about yourself. Feel useful. Feel wonderful, because not only are you entitled to feel this way, you are supposed to feel this way. If you feel good, it feels good. If you feel bad, it feels bad. This is nature's way of telling you you're doing and thinking the right thing, or you're doing and thinking the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Don't misinterpret these things as negative. They're all right. Lessons, and you are important. Very, very important.
Yeah. And one other thing is that a reminder is that we exercise our body. We understand that concept, and same with our brain. Mm-hmm. If we don't exercise it, we lose some of the capabilities of it. And like the friend's grandmother I had mentioned, she used her brain regularly and kept it sharp to an old age. So I encourage everyone that could benefit from that to consider finding ways to keep your brain sharp and body. So,
exactly.
Awesome. Thanks again, Maury, and thanks to everyone listening. All the best blessings on your journeys. Take care and much love.